Word of God this morning. And Father, we know that when we get involved with your word, we're getting involved with discovering who you are. And Father, as we learn of you, Father, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see you clearly, even long before we get into your presence. We can know you now. We can get to know you and see you as you really are. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit's ability to cause us to see you so plainly that we would know your heart and that we would love you with all of our heart, and how important that is in Jesus' name. So this morning, may your anointing be upon the ears of your people to hear and upon the lips of the speaker to speak, because between both, much can be accomplished for the kingdom of Jesus. Amen and amen. We're talking about the heart, the issues of the heart. And I'll do my best to close it this Sunday. But it's an important study. Matter of fact, if you don't understand this, how the kingdom of God works in the issues of your heart, you'll never succeed with the Lord in your life. Because when Jesus walked this earth, one thing he said and made it very plain is that my kingdom is not of this world. We know in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And at the end of his days of temptation, we know that Satan had come to him and tempted him, saying, "See the kingdoms of all this world." He says, "I'll give them to you if you bow down and worship me." And of course, you know, Jesus didn't buy it. He didn't take it. Because there, in the backside of the wilderness, he established the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is the only one that literally records the kingdom of heaven. The others refer to it as the kingdom of God. Confused me for a long time, but when I began to study the persons and the personality types of the apostles with what information they have given us and how they operated, Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew probably was one of the disciples that also knew how to operate on behalf of the authority of the kingdom that was within this world. He was a tax collector. That's why he wasn't too well liked. So when Jesus took him up and said, "Follow me," that probably challenged a lot of people that would look on. Why would Jesus get involved with the tax collector? What is it with us that we don't like the IRS? Is it the IRS, really? But anyway, Matthew understood operating for the kingdom. And so he picks it up. None of the others do. The kingdom of heaven. It was a mystery for me a long time, you know. The kingdom of heaven really is an important thing to understand, because what he's referring to there is, and Kenneth Hagin brought it out, and I never picked it up until I went back and read his book again, The Present Day Ministry of Jesus. And the kingdom of heaven literally is under Christ while Christ is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is operating in the earth while Christ is in heaven. Then when I was doing a study about the kingdom of God, I discovered something that was real interesting. The kingdom of God is when both are working together in the heart of you. And see, I never understood that before, but I began to realize that Jesus, when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," what he did is he established a kingdom within a kingdom. So he established the kingdom of heaven that would function in the earth, in the God of this world, in his kingdom. And so when you and I walk on the surface of this planet, we represent the kingdom of heaven. That is the kingdom that's operating in the earth while Christ is in heaven. And then the kingdom of God is what's established in heaven, in Christ in you, while you're on this planet. And so a lot of times we see believers not really making it to the full end. They die before their time. They suffer. Well, the kingdom of God is divided in them. And when the kingdom of God is divided within them, they cannot stand. And the principle of God's kingdom is the issue of a man's heart. We can't get away from that, no matter how we try. You know, the parable of the talents, when you read them, it's predicated on works. For years, I never understood the parable of the talents, how it attaches itself to our redemptive rights. If God allots us a certain measure, because that's all we would attain to, but if we did well within that, you know what I mean? It just didn't fit, because our sufficiency is of Christ. Amen? He did it all for us in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So how does the parable of the talents fit into my thinking? I couldn't figure it out for years until this weekend. I was meditating on it, and it finally dawned on me what the parable of the talents is really all about. It's the issue of a man's heart. God will work with a man according to where his heart is. If his heart's established in him, God will give him more. If the heart is not there, God isn't going to give him what's not established. But you know, God doesn't abandon everybody. He'll go down to one talent. But sure enough, your heart will destroy that if it's not right with God. You know, as God was showing me that, I began to see me in the sphere of this authority. And I remember what Dean said, Braxton, when he was in heaven. He said there was this funnel that was going from heaven to earth. How many of you remember that testimony of that? That was that circle. He said when Christians stepped outside of that circle, they were disintegrated. But as long as they were operating within that sphere, it was all right. They were operating under total authority. And finally dawned on me, the kingdom of heaven is the authority of the Son at work in the earth through the heart of the believer. And the kingdom of God gets established in our hearts. That's why it says the kingdom of God. Didn't say the kingdom of heaven, said the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of heaven is that kingdom that Jesus established in his death, burial, and resurrection. He established that kingdom within the earth. Now, today we're living very complicated times. We don't realize that God will never compromise what he establishes as truth, as authority. Amen? And so when he talks about operating into the authority of the kingdom of God, that means that whenever Satan tries to enter in to that sphere of authority of the kingdom of heaven, he cannot enter in there because you're operating in its authority. And so he can walk around the perimeters of the kingdom of heaven, but he can't enter it. And you must stay within it. If you step outside the perimeters of the kingdom that was giving you, then he will have his way with you. And see, that's why some Christians die before their time. So God established his word to keep us to functioning within the perimeters of the kingdom of heaven that is in the earth, established in the earth. Now, a lot of people will use the witness of men for things not always working properly. Case in point, many of your churches today, and I never realized that this form of thinking was still going on, but it is. Well, sister or brother so-and-so would have lived, but they were righteous before the Lord, and the Lord still took them. You see, when a kingdom is established, God doesn't go back and make adjustments, nor make proper adjustments to fit mankind. They're established, predicated on the good of all mankind to preserve them from this present evil world. It is up to us to how far we go into the kingdom of heaven to have success. A lot of believers would like to pawn it off on the fact that God's offer is ultimate sovereignty, and whatever happens will happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. If anyone believes that, your faith is hopeless. You have to have a position for your faith to stand in order for you to accomplish something. But it still is a heart issue. If your heart is not there, then guess what? The kingdom of heaven will not function in a heart that's not committed to him. Jesus himself said if a kingdom is divided against itself, he said Satan, he's not going to come against himself in his kingdom. He knows it won't stand. So you and I have got to come to the realization. If you're going to function in the kingdom of God, you've got to stay within the perimeters of that kingdom no matter what your head says. You know, this body here, what we don't realize, this physical body operates in both kingdoms. It can't get out of one kingdom and jump into the other. Why? Because the fact that you have a physical body, you're in this kingdom. Are you following me? And it has a death nature at work within it. But the only way that the death nature can be controlled is the kingdom of God within you, in your heart. And that's what I was saying, that when the kingdom of God operates, it operates from within you to that which is without. Not that which is out to inward. That's the way the kingdom of God operated in the Old Testament. Outward to inward. But New Testament's inward to outward. God establishes a kingdom in your heart, and the kingdom that is in your heart takes control of the kingdom that's in this world. Glory to God. You know, when God was dead, boy, when the reality of that came alive to me, I mean, it just hit me real strong that the kingdom of God is both in heaven and in earth in our hearts. That's when he says the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of heaven is a distinction of the kingdom of Jesus at work within this earth. How many are following me? And so when the term kingdom of heaven is used, it means under Christ while he is in heaven. It is a present day ministry of Jesus Christ. But when it says the kingdom of God, this is under God as Christ is at work in our heart. It's when both are working together in the heart of it, in the heart of us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Kingdom of what? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these passages of scripture describes very much what I'm trying to tell you. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. What kingdom is he referring to? The kingdom of heaven. And when he has put an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Remember what I said about all enemies under his feet? How many of you remember when I finally broke the mystery of that when we were studying the book of Hebrews? You see, you and I were once enemies of the cross. And the term, till the enemies be... Or under his feet means literally when an enemy is submitted now to the king, he falls at his feet and learns of that king. Are you following me? And so we were once enemies and now we're his friend and we're at his feet and we're no longer his enemies. Praise God. Now notice this. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he that has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so we see that there's a kingdom of heaven that is structured under Christ while it's in this earth. And the only way that this kingdom will operate in heaven is through the issue of a man's heart. That's why the scriptures are so clear that if you don't know the heart of the Father, you'll never get anywhere with him, especially in ministry. You'll never succeed with him. It's a challenge to do things right. But you know, I like what the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, did a wonderful job. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right. And I noticed that between all the other little statements that he makes on Sermon on the Mount, he comes to one just before he ends it saying, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so that means that when a man has no spiritual value, when he gets born again, see, the Sermon on the Mount's a new believer's constitution. Then when he's born from above, he's born again. Now the kingdom of heaven belongs to him to function out of and to have authority out of. Praise God. But when a man goes into righteousness, he's going to be persecuted for it. Why? Because in his righteousness, he's operating in the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. You know, when that hit me so hard, believe it or not, it hit me really. I've been seeing this as I've been studying about us being ambassadors for Christ. When I was seeing what being an ambassador was really all about, I began to realize why we can fulfill the law in our hearts is because God changes our hearts to fulfill it. I got one brother who was under condemnation because he hadn't been to a lot of services and everything. And I says, well, don't feel bad about it. I says, that's just where your heart is. Well, he didn't like that. He didn't want me to pinpoint his heart. But the thing that was coming up, he says, but God knows my heart. And I says, yeah, he does. If he knew your heart, you'd be in services hearing more. Because you see, when a man's heart's in something, how many of you know when a guy's heart's in something?
Oh, yeah.
What is the first thing you notice about a guy whose heart's committed? He's actively involved.
Right.
Yeah, just like you guys are married. How many of you know when your spouse has a heart for you, they're actively involved. When they don't have a heart for you, guess what? They're living in a different house, even though you're under the same roof. What? The heart is not no longer established where it used to be. So the issue of your heart is very important to the kingdom of God. God doesn't want your works, He wants your heart. And then your heart will display your works. If your works are not displaying the right heart, then you got works, but you don't have heart.
Yep.
God don't honor it.
Right.
Now we try to get away from that kind of thinking, but when you stay within the perimeters of that thinking, then don't make excuses. Just say, my heart's not after God right now. Now I got it. Ooh. Man of honor, man of integrity. He'll stay right where he's at. Because you know what? When you think you are where you're supposed to be and you're not, then that darkness will keep you more deceived. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh is your greatest enemy of the kingdom of God within you. It has nothing to do with the devil. The Bible says he's already defeated. It's your flesh that has to be taken control of daily. And your flesh does not like the kingdom of God. It'll get up every morning with excuses. I know. I live with the guy. Matter of fact, this morning I got up. You should have had John Cook take the service. Oh, you got to leave and you got to go. I got to come. It's the way flesh is. Flesh is lazy, rotten, no good for nothing. He's called the unjust judge. He has no regard for God nor man. Period, over and out. And so when the kingdom of God is at work within you, it's your heart. And boy, you know, this authority got so real in me. Tim, his son Eli, and Jenny met us at our campgrounds this weekend. And Jenny says, well, we can't stay. We got to go back. And I said, why? Well, Eli broke his foot. I said, again? He had both two broken foots. Now he inherited another one from skateboarding. Have you ever seen people fall on them skateboards? I'll tell you what. First time I straddled one of them rails because of a skateboard, I wouldn't get on that sucker ever again. My brain would register, danger, danger, danger. And I said, well, how do you know his foot's broken? Well, he can't move it. I said, he can't move it. No, it's numb. It got also. It's not a spring. It's broken. And I said, well, how does Eli know it's broken? Well, Janny's had two broken feet before. He'd know. And I went, oh, yeah, I guess he would know. And I says, well, so what do you got to do? I got to take him to the doctor. And I says, oh, good thing you got medical coverage. We don't have medical coverage. Oh, And I says, well, if you don't have medical coverage, that's going to be... And I stopped. And there was just something in me that said, the kingdom of heaven can work in this case. It's just something in me. And I said, well, Jenny, have you and Tim ever thought about praying for Eli? And Jenny said, well, yeah, Tim wants you to pray for him. He's down on the boat and the crutches with your daughter and her friend. And I said, well, bring him up here and we'll pray for him. And so in my mind, I said, now I am going to not just merely pray for his foot. I'm going to pray and believe that God can heal it now. You know what I mean? I got this kingdom of heaven going off in me. You know, I got some authority here. And so they brought Eli, and he, of course, he's crouching, you know, and they sit down, and he can't, oh, don't touch it. And so I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command this foot to be made whole. Now, little Eli is at that stage where he don't want nothing to do with God right now. And so I prayed. And so about 10 minutes later, I forgot what I was doing, he comes leaping across the field there, and he's giggling. And I said, well, what's wrong, Eli? And he goes, hey, I can wiggle my toes, and the pain's gone. And I said, good. He says, yeah, this is really good. And he's sitting there, and he's thinking. So I see him catch out of my eye, him looking and moving, and he's moving his foot more and more, and he's thinking. I know what's happening. Just what God did to my kids when they were younger. And I prayed for him. Mikey came up, and he had a toothache. It was just throbbing when he was a little kid. And I laid hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this pain to be carried away. And it just instantly left, and he just started giggling and crying. Well, little kids, God really wants to settle little kids in their heart, you know. And so Eli just started laughing all by himself by the table, you know, out there in the park. And he was just laughing and moving his foot. Well, during the night, he had to get up to go visit, you know, Georgia Pacific. Anyway, he gets up in the middle of the night, and he's walking on his foot. He's trying to get the tent unzipped because he had to stay with Lindsay and his other, her other little friend, you know, driving him crazy. Anyway, he finally gets the tent open, and he walks up to the bathroom and comes back, and he realizes he's walking on his foot. So the next morning, I get up, and Eli says, guess what? My foot's healed. Right away, Tim goes, or Jenny goes, praise the Lord. The Lord healed his broken foot. And right away your brain goes, well, it wasn't really broken. You know how your brain will say that. But I remember my ankle getting broke and the pain. I couldn't move it, nothing. And then I prayed, and instantly God mended it. You know, I told you that story. And it, poof. And I just started laughing. It was so funny. And of course, my wife and Lindsay thought I was nuts. But anyway. But you see, that's the authority that's in the kingdom. But what it does to your heart, you know what that does to your heart? Man, that does something big in your heart. Yeah, it was good that he got his foot healed. But it was like God was saying, see, that's the authority of the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing wrong with doctors, but you know what? If you don't have the medical insurance and you don't have the money to put out, God's a good way to go. You know what I mean? And now they don't have to take him. He's fine. He's moving there. He says, I know my foot was broken again. I know it. He said, but it's not now. He said, matter of fact, there was a kind of an ache in the ankle, and now that's even gone. So it is important. But what that did to his heart, it did something to Eli's heart. They never forget that, you see, because they know God is real when they do that. And I saw that impacting him. So the kingdom of heaven is when Christ's work is in the earth. But the kingdom of God is when God's work is in both the kingdom of heaven and the heart of man. See, the kingdom of God is within you. How many of you know that? kingdom of God is within you. It's found in your heart. Now, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He meant a new kingdom would establish itself in the heart of man. That's why your heart must sever its ties from this world as first place, or your heart will never change. Your heart will never change. There's where the deception comes in with people. They don't realize how important it is to keep their first love. It is important you keep your first love with God. And you have to struggle, you have to fight that thing all the time. But what you're doing is you're fighting your flesh. You're not fighting the devil. You're fighting the flesh when it comes to complacency or indifference in your heart. You've got to deal with your flesh. Why? Because it can only get excited for a season, but after a season, it gets tired. But the kingdom of God that is at work within you never tires of itself. Are you following me? You know, now when you think about ambassadors for Christ, Paul said it. And he said, we are also ambassadors. An ambassador is a minister of the highest rank in a foreign country. He's a diplomat of the highest order, employed by the government of that country to manage the concerns of that government in another country. And experienced men were chosen for this office. How many of you know that? But an ambassador must know the kingdom he represents. He has to know its resources. He has to know its forces, its might, its armor, its universal position, and its key city, which is ours, called Mount Zion. Are you following me? You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Not to this earthly Jerusalem, but the heavenly Jerusalem. And unto an innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And you see, when God did something to us in the new birth, He birthed us into His kingdom. We were conceived from the loins of God. We were conceived in our spirit. We were birthed into His kingdom. And He intends for us to operate in the kingdom of heaven while we're on this earth. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
You know, Matthew chapter 6 is a very interesting thing. Because Matthew chapter 6, Jesus made it very clear through the Lord's Prayer how a person can operate in the kingdom of heaven. And He said kingdom of heaven there, not kingdom of God. And He said that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you following me? And then He went through how to establish yourself in the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And then when He gets to chapter 7, we find a group of people that were prophesying, casting out devils, doing many wonderful works. But the problem with them is they were molded and shaped by the downside of other people rather than being established in their own heart with God. And so what they did is that the Lord went ahead and said, ask, seek, knock, and you'll find all this when it comes to prayer. And these guys, evidently, I couldn't figure out why, then He went right directly back to the issue that you'll know men after their fruit, what they're doing. You know something? A man's fruit will tell you where the heart is. They can say all they want with their mouth, but I'm going to tell you where their heart is. It's in their fruits. Are you following what I'm saying? If a man would only see his own fruit, he would discover something about himself. You can talk nice talk to anybody, but really, they're going to sit there and look at what you do, not what you say. And so, I couldn't figure out why the Lord would even mention prayer there. Well, first of all, they begin to judge other people. You know something? When other people stop your progress, you want to know why? Because you're not operating out of the freedom of liberty. You're not operating out of the kingdom of God within your heart. You're letting other people dictate to you your limitations. Remember I said we respond according to the Word of God, or we respond according to what? People. You see, and if people require certain requirements of you, you'll do them just because that God is behind authority and behind the rule. But listen, you're serving God, not man. And so if man blocks your progress, it's because they're molding and shaping you according to how they receive you or reject you. And see, a man, I know that when he's molded and shaped that way, you can't get much results out of him. He doesn't know how to bend or mold or be shapeable with people. Why? Because people are shaping and molding him. Are you guys following what I'm saying? But man, when a guy's heart's established in the kingdom of God, man, it don't matter what man thinks, says, or does. He'll follow the rules, he'll do the right thing, and he will succeed in life. You'll see it. Why? Because he's free of man. He's committed to God. Amen. And God shows him how to serve man in spite of man. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news to know that man can't stop your progress? God will show you the heart of men, and then you'll function before God and that heart of a man and still succeed. That's the way God is. Why, you're an ambassador. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. God does not like you to represent His kingdom unless you know His kingdom. An ambassador must have credentials. You must be called and endued with power, and you are. And so the ambassador who represents Christ must be filled with Christ's word, fruits, and gifts. An ambassador has authority. He knows the principles of authority. He has a covering over him, a spiritual father, a rule to whom he submits. He speaks with authority, with faith, and with wisdom. An ambassador has a task. He is sent into a heathen nation. And he not only moves among common people, but his primary purpose is to move in high places. He deals with the gates, the governments of the principalities and power. He wrestles and binds the strong dealings with the highest authority. He must stand against any wiles of that nation. He is there to declare the policies of his country and to maintain the standard of his country. He becomes a mediator, dealing as a peacemaker. Paul says to an ambassador, is committed the word of reconciliation. An ambassador is health. A faithful ambassador is healthy. He shares the wealth and prosperity of his nation with others who have none. He supplies medical, financial, and food. He is an evangelism centered around sin. He's a powerful man of God. Praise God. But his heart is fixed. It's established on the kingdom of God. No. The heart. One of the things Paul said about the renewing of the mind is that we're not to be molded or shaped, being conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, over the years as a pastor, when I've run into difficult issues of people's hearts, I've always put them to the test. And I've only found one that passed. Most of the time, they'll fail the test. And most of the time, they'll fail the test and not even know that what I gave them was not predicated on my righteousness, but on His. And if they would follow His righteousness, then they're worthy of the promotion. But most of the time, they'll look at trying to find something wrong with me so that they can also fail in their task. You know, I never forget the story in the Bible where Jesus, I don't know where it's at right off, but Jesus asked this one guy to go do something. He says, well, I'll go do it. Yeah, take care of that for me. Oh, I'll take care of it for you. He never does. Goes to another person, says, would you do this for me? And the guy said, I ain't going to do that. Don't ask me to do it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And goes and does it. Jesus said, which was right? Well, that's an issue of the heart. That's an issue of the heart. But you know something? As I'm growing in the Lord, one thing that I desire, it's funny when you get up in age, you know a little bit. I'm not as old as John Cook, but when you get up in age... One thing that really starts getting a hold of you is your desire to please the Lord. When you're younger, you have all these other little things that are going off in you, you know, and different things. But as you get older, there's a desire in your heart. I really want to please you today, Lord. You know, just please you. You know, not for anything, but I just want my day to be pleasing to you.
Amen.
You know? A lot of us don't know how to put our head down at the end of the day. A lot of us don't know how to settle the wrath that has emotionally got us involved during the day. But you know, it pays a man to look over his day and see where he did err and ask the Lord to forgive him before he closes his eyes. I'd sure hate to wake up in heaven and leave things unaccounted for. We grow in the Lord. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. Thank God for that. And you all been here longer than that. I'd sure hate to have you tell me, yeah, you're the same guy. Because you always hope for change in everybody. Amen. And the heart is a very important thing. One thing that the heart will always do, it'll fulfill the law. Why? It's because it's a heart thing. Paul, you know, criticized the Jew. Why? Because they were real prideful at having the law. And in Romans chapter 2, he says, well, if that's the case, you religious nuts. He says, if you think the law is such great, why do the uncircumcised keep the law and you who are circumcised don't keep it? And then he ends it with this one thought. He says, the reason they keep it is by nature. By nature, they fulfill the law. Why? It's through a man's being born again, receiving a new nature, a new life. And none of us are without excuses. We've all been come off the same common ground. We have given, there's newness of life that has been given us. And none of us are without any excuse. And I'm going to tell you something, people. Your heart is very important to God. If it's not right with God, God will deal with your heart until you get it right. You guys know that? Turn over to 1 John 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, go to verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How many of you remember what I said about truth there in truth? Do you know that there are different words for the word truth in the Greek? One is the truth of the gospel within itself. There's a Greek word for that. It's called truth. The truth of the gospel. How many of you know what that means? That means that this word that's in your lap, if it came out of the mouth of God, this word is truth. Amen. But there's another Greek word that's very interesting called in truth. I'll pronounce a word for it. It's called aletheia. This word, aletheia, is not referring to this being truth in itself. It means when this has joined itself to the heart of a person, then it becomes truth. How many got what I'm saying? See, the gospel has a single mind to it. We put double-mindedness to it. This has singleness to it. Aletheia means when this singleness of this truth gets into your heart and joins itself to it. So when you look at the word here, in truth, it means the gospel that has moved into the heart of a person. Aletheia. They that must worship me in spirit and in aletheia. Truth. You know, when somebody said, well, how can I tell when my heart's not right with God? Look around you and look at your fruit. If your fruit is bearing death, your heart is not right with God. Are you losing your husband? Are you losing your wife? Are your children going astray? Have you lost them from the Lord? What is happening to you? Are you losing jobs all the time? Are you losing relationships? Is things breaking down all around you? Are addictions controlling you? See, all these things tell you something isn't established in your heart concerning the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom divided against itself will not stand. There is no compromise when it comes to the kingdom of God. There is no consideration for how this natural world functions when it comes to operating in the kingdom of heaven. You cannot cross the two. You either believe in the one or the other. You cannot cross the two. There will come a time in every one of you in this room, there will come a time in your life when you have no kingdom of this world to consider, but only the kingdom of heaven for you to survive on. If you think the devil is going to cut you slack by providing some means out of his kingdom while you're supposed to support another kingdom, you know what? You're deceived and you're dividing the kingdom within you. It's one thing for me to go to a doctor, but I'm going to tell you what. It's another thing that he is second in his authority to my Christ first in authority. Amen. You cannot take into consideration anything around you in this world when you're operating in the authority of the kingdom of God. Because it's in the issues of your heart. Well, I had this present world to deal with. No, you don't. You only have one consideration to deal with, and that is that the kingdom of heaven be established in your heart, and the world will take its second right place. Always keep the kingdom of this world secondary to the kingdom of God. That's got to come first. Oh, you know what? It's only a matter of time, and the devil will find a way to take you out. You just got to lay your weapons down. I had a beautiful young lady come to me. And she wanted to live so much. She was the wife of a dentist. Came to our church. Beautiful gal. Black hair. Gorgeous. And she says, I've been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I says, well, what's your background? And she said, my background... And I think she was from Olympia, up north. She says, well, my background hasn't really been much into church, although I've been a Christian my whole life. And I says, well, what do you know of the Word of God in the area of healing? Oh, I believe in divine healing. You do? Yes. Well, I could tell where her heart was. She's in a crisis now and she's drawing to God. That is a bad place to be. That's why I hate religious ministers. You got to be a minister that's on the cutting edge with God. God means what He says, and God will do what He says, what He means. Are you following me? Regardless of me, God does what He says He'll do. God has already done what He said. And I looked at her and I said, do you know that God has already provided healing for you? She says, well, yeah, I'm beginning to really believe that He has. I'm seeing in this little frail little lady trying to lift 500 pounds and it's impossibility. I said, the only thing that will save you is a miracle. And she said, well, that's why I'm here. I understand that people get healed when they come here. I said, do you believe that you can receive? Yeah, not from me, but from Jesus. She said, well, I believe that. And then I said, well, why did you come here? I'm not the healer. I'm just one chosen vessel, that's all. But you didn't have to come here. Go to your church. Oh, they're not really into this divine healing. I says, you want to live? Oh, I want to live. I says, well, the kingdom of God is within you. The authority is there. Jesus already paid the price. He carried away in his chastisement. She said, well, I hope that's true. You know how hopeless I felt for her? And I prayed with her. And she died. And I guess it was horrible. Then I had a dear brother. I don't know if Ron's here. Is Ron Hagel here? Where you at, Ron? Living testimony. His mom and dad came. And Ron and I and his mom and dad. Sorry to share this, right? They came up in the room and I thought it was so funny. Ron knew his dad didn't have his believing right. But he knew his mom did. And I says, well, how do you believe, sir? And he tells me how he believes. And I looked at him and I said, well, you believe that way? She's not going to live. And his mother looked over at me. She says, you don't believe that way, do you? Over her husband. Is this not a testimony, Ron? She's totally healed of terminal cancer today. She did what we asked her to do. She got a hold of the scriptures and everything. Totally written off terminal cancer. Did what we'd given her instructions to do. You want to? She was young enough and bold enough to just do it. She didn't have a lot of religious jargon or witnesses admit. She just couldn't understand why her husband believed the way he did. I don't believe that way. Why? Because her life was on the line. But she got a hold of the heart of God. There's a difference. Both go home. But one will go home in defeat and one will go home in victory. And I guarantee you, when you've been given the kingdom of heaven to operate within you, and then you abuse it and allow it to be divided within your own heart, you know what? God has already given us His payday. If you rely on any portion of this world for anything, then eventually your day will come and it won't be good. Your heart has to be established with God. You've got to deal with this flesh. When it wants to lay down, you got to pick it up. You got to take on the responsibility of having an authority against your flesh, because the devil uses that as a medium to destroy the kingdom of God within you. You've got to pick yourself up and you got to say, bless God, I'm not going down the road of death. I'm going to be more than a conqueror in this life. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to confess what God says to confess. I'm going to live where I'm supposed to live. I'm not going to be a thinker of death. I'm going to be a thinker of life. I choose life today. Not death. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, Christ removed the curse of the law for your sake. And now you have to take the authority not to allow the curse to rule.
Amen.
Well, I don't understand why they died. I do. They were sweet, but they didn't have a heart for God. Your heart will always speak in the end. Your heart will always speak in the end. Do you guys get something today? Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the privilege of being a part of the kingdom of heaven at work in this earth. Father, I thank you. I'm under the present day ministry of my Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Father, His kingdom is without end. Father, there is no rule nor authority above His kingdom. I place myself directly under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever I face in this world, Father, I will not allow it to rule over me as long as I live. Praise God. Father, I want to live to the fullness of my life. Oh, my people, I say unto you this day, I say unto you this day, I did not leave you the legacy of my word for the enemy to walk over you. I did not leave the legacy of my word for your flesh to control you. I left my word for you to take back your life and take control of your life. For these are troublesome times. These are times when everything seems uncertain. But my word is still certain. It hasn't changed with the economy. My word is still very certain. Use it. Use it as a tool. Use it in obedience. And quit wondering if your faith is there. Be obedient and you will find faith. Be obedient and you'll find courage. Be obedient and you won't be discouraged. Use my word. Trust me. You are supposed to be a person of trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me and I will bring it to pass. Don't lay your guard down. Don't lay your weapons down. Go for it. Go into the battle as though you're going to win it. Go into the battle as though you're going to take it. Even though they laugh you to scorn from the wall and look down on you and say, what is this? They can't even say anything. But in the end, when they shouted, the walls of Jericho came down and I'm the same God today. Those walls that try to make you a prisoner, speak against them. When I tell you to shout against them, they'll come down. But you've got to realize the authority that belongs to you. I didn't leave my word for you to be without authority. I left my word for you to be in authority. The ones who bring a reproach to my kingdom are those who let it be half-heartedly used. I want your whole heart for my kingdom to work, saith the Lord. Whew. Whew. Glory. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. If you're here today, and you've never, ever given your heart to the Lord, we invite you to do that. At the end of the service, please come forward. We'll minister life to you. Get out of that old life. Get into the new. Become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And your whole life will change. Oh, hallelujah. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, oh, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like speaking in tongues. Yeah, I did it in public service. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not ashamed of my spiritual language. It's amazing how Christians will allow that ungodly, filthy language in their mouth, but don't want to speak in tongues. I've known believers that'll swear. Say hell. Say dirty words. And sit there and say, well, don't get tongues going here, because they're of the devil. I'm often wondering what kind of tongue they're using in English. Amen. Is that not of the devil? Right. A guy angered me so much there, I got to quit going to the coffee shop. Sitting there with that foul language in the mouth, going to a local church and sitting there talking about tongues. Just angers me. You mean to tell me you wouldn't put the language of God on your tongue and yet you'll sit there and put dung on it? There's something wrong with that kind of thinking. It's stinking. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues, don't be afraid to tell somebody.
Amen.
Just ask them, well, do you ever let foul words come out of your mouth?
Amen.
Well, we know that tongue's of the devil. Speaking in tongues, you don't know whether it is or not. Take a chance. Hallelujah. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, when we set you free in a few minutes, I want you to come up here with and lay hands on you. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want every one of us this morning in this service right now, this is what I want all of us to do. No altar call on this one. This belongs to all of us. Let's all recommit our walk with Him. Would that be all right with you guys? And guess what? If you don't want to, you don't have to. You can just sit there like a stump. I won't embarrass you by making everybody come up here and you guys stay in your pew. But right where you're at, let's all do that. Let's recommit our faithfulness to our Heavenly Father. Let's do it right now. Hallelujah. Father, we all stand before You today. We love You so much, Father. We thank You for Your kingdom at work within us. We know that we are under the kingdom of heaven. But, Father, the kingdom of God worketh out of our hearts to this dying world. And, Father, this year, may every one of us be more committed to You than we've ever been in Jesus' name. We know the end short. Hallelujah. And so, Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I rededicate my life to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Besides, we got to do something here. Gas is getting too high. We got to go. Father, increase everybody's payload here for more gas. Amen.